Exciting trip down memory lane as we revisit the days when Rio was king. I'm your host, Corey Walker, and I invite you to gather around the old part of Rio. I have one more episode after this week before I hand over the reins to James Colston in Yarmouth, Maine. I know you will be in good hands with him. Today I'm featuring three Rio series I haven't featured in quite some time. We're going to start with the juvenile series Little Orphan Annie, which is based on Harold Gray's comic strip of the same name. The series originally aired from April 6, 1931 until April 26, 1942, switching between ABC Blue, NBC, and Mutual. Shirley Bell stars Annie, the redheaded star of the series. Today's episode is titled Following Angeline Carmody and was first heard on Wednesday, November 20, 1940, around 5 p.m. Enjoy.
I wonder what Annie hopes to find out by following Angelina Carmody. It certainly is thrilling. And say, wasn't that exciting news we heard last time about Orphan Annie's new identification bureau? Yes, sir. Every one of you boys and girls can get in on it and get a keen-looking identification tag and chain for your very own. And so, if you missed hearing about it, listen hard now, because, boy, oh boy, you certainly want this keen-looking, oval-shaped identification tag and automatic fitting chain for your wrist like soldiers and aviators wear. It's shining gold color victory metal. Solid victory metal, so rich and valuable looking, nobody can miss seeing it when you wear it. There's a beautiful American flag on the front, and best of all, right above the flag, we're going to put your initial to show it's your property. The letter that stands for your own name. But wait till you see the other side. It has your official identification number stamped right into the metal. And remember, nobody else will have a number like yours. Because the big idea is that everybody gets a different number that's going to be registered with your name and address at the headquarters of Annie's Identification Bureau in Chicago. And then, if there's an emergency or any boy or girl gets lost, people can send into the headquarters and find out the name and address that matches up with the number on any Orphan Annie identification tag. And so it's useful. As well as so wonderful looking, you'll have everybody crowding around to see it. You can't buy these identification tags in the stores. They're made up just for Annie's friends, because she wants you to try the new 1940 chocolate-flavored Ovaltine. It's even better than last year's chocolate-flavored Ovaltine, with a new, creamy, chocolatey flavor. And it's better for you besides. Has more of those valuable vitamins and minerals in it. And so, you certainly want to try this new treat and send for your personal identification tag as fast as you can. Now, all you do is this. Print the initial you want on your tag and your name and address plainly on a piece of paper. Then, send it to Annie with a dime wrapped in all of a metal foil seal from under the lid of a can of the new 1940 chocolate-flavored Ovaltine, or plain Ovaltine. But remember, Annie especially wants you to try new, improved chocolate-flavored Ovaltine. You send your letter to Little Orphan Annie, Chicago, Illinois. All straight? You send the initial you want, your printed name and address, and a dime wrapped in a seal from new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine or plain Ovaltine to Little Orphan Annie, Chicago, Illinois. And then Annie sends you your keen-looking automatic-fitting identification tag and chain as fast as she can. Boy, don't waste a minute sending for yours. And now, today's adventure with Annie. A bomb has destroyed part of the town hall in Sunfield, and that mysterious gang of boys, known as the Black Jackets, is suspected of having set off the bomb. However, Annie doesn't believe they did it. And last time, she and Joe set out to trail a woman who Annie felt sure would lead them to the persons who are really guilty. And now, we find Annie and Joe still cautiously following the woman along one of the back streets of the town. Listen.
Look out, Joe.
Uh-huh.
She's turning around to look back again. Let's stop and pretend we're interested in this door window.
All right. But this is about the fifth time we've had to stop and look in windows. Do you think she suspects we're following her?
No, I think she's just being careful. Oh, we wouldn't have to be so particular about keeping out of her sight if we were complete strangers to her. But if she caught sight of us now, she'd know we were the two kids she met back there in the mayor's office.
Oh, sure, she'd recognize us, all right.
You bet she would. Oh, we better be moving along again. She's getting pretty far ahead of us.
All right, let's go.
I think we're safe from attracting her attention as long as we stay on this side of the street and she stays on that side. And we keep about a half a block behind her.
Well, where do you figure she... Oh, look. She's turning into that place right there on the corner of Pepper Street.
So she is. Golly, that's great. That's just what I was hoping for.
You mean you were hoping that she'd turn into that particular place?
No. No, I don't know anything about the place, but don't you see? It's a cafe of some kind. That means 9 chances out of 10 that she's going to meet somebody in there.
So she's going to meet somebody. Then what?
Well, that woman tried to make us think that some boys, meaning the Black Jackets, did that bombing. And that makes me think she was trying to throw suspicion away from the people who really did it. And it makes me think that she's connected with the people who really did it.
Yeah, but
what and if you... I don't miss my guess, she's meeting with one or more of them in that cafe right now.
Okay. Hey, but we better slow down or something. We're right across the street from the place.
I know. Let's cross the street. There's nothing to do now but walk right in there and see what we can see.
I hope you're noticing that this is a mighty tough-looking cafe.
Yeah, from the outside, it's about as bad a place as you'll find in Sunfield. But we can't let that scare us.
Take a look at the name of it, too. The Black Cat Cafe. Rocco Roberto, proprietor. I don't much like that. Black cats stand for bad luck.
Oh, that's nonsense, Joe, and you know it.
Well, I don't like the proprietor's name either. Rocco Roberto. Sounds like an international spy or a member of the Black Hand.
Wait a minute, Joe. There's somebody coming out. Let's just wait behind this parked car till we see who it is.
Okay.
We can peek through the rear window of the car without being noticed ourselves.
Yeah. Hey, it's the woman, all right.
The lizards, it is. And there's a man with her. This is going to save us the trouble of going in that place.
Yeah, but what if they come past here and see us crouching behind this car?
They're not coming past here. They're... Quick, Gulliver. They're going to get into that car. Parked right in front of this one.
Well, that's a break for us.
What do you mean it's a break for us?
It's a break that they're not getting into the one we're hiding behind.
It's a bad break for us that they're getting into any car. I hadn't counted on that.
Does that upset your plan?
Of course it does, Joe. How are we going to follow them now?
Well, I wouldn't know. But now that the subject's come up, I'm surprised she didn't get into a car long before this.
Well, I thought of the possibility that she might. But after she'd walked 4 or 5 blocks, I figured we didn't have to worry anymore about that.
Well, there they go, in a big black sedan. And a mighty fancy-looking one, too.
Oh, golly, think, Joe. Think of something to do. We can't let them get away from us like this.
I don't see how we can prevent it. We can't chase them on foot.
Of course not, but...
Maybe we shouldn't have tackled this job of trailing that woman all by ourselves. I still don't see why we couldn't have had the chief send one of his men with us.
The chief believed her story, Joe. He thought she was on the level. If we waited to convince him that she wasn't, she'd have been gone before we could have got on her trail.
Well, I guess there's something in that. But if we had a policeman with us, he could commandeer any car along the street here and we could follow that sedan.
Well, we haven't any policeman with us. We're all by ourselves and we'd let a swell lead on that bomb and get away from us. I'll bet you anything we'd have that crime practically solved if... Oh, suffering sunfish. We even forgot to notice the license number of the sedan.
Hey, look what's coming here. A taxi.
Oh, golly, so it is. And empty, too.
But this is luck. There aren't more than half a dozen taxis in the whole town.
I'll say it's luck. Hey there.
Do you want a cab?
You bet we do. Come on, Joe, pile in. It's lucky the mayor gave us some expense money.
I'll say. Turn right here at the corner, driver, north on Pepper Street. There's a black sedan someplace up there ahead of us, and we want you to follow it.
The sedan has a big start on us, so you'll have to go like the wind if we're to catch him. And we gotta catch him. It's terribly important.
Okay. I'll do my best.
There There it is, driver. See it? About three blocks down the street.
I got my eye on it. You want me to catch up with him, is that it?
No, don't catch up with him. Get within about a block of him and then just follow him.
Okay.
Say, Joe, do you notice where we're going? Pepper Street turns off into the old North Road up there. If we keep going this way, we'll be heading out of town right past that old house.
Yeah, right past the Black Jackets headquarters.
Black Jackets. Black Cat Cafe. That's kind of strange. Say, what do you know about that cafe back there, Mr. Cab Driver? That Black Cat Cafe.
Well, I can't say as I know anything about it. I never been in there.
But you must be pretty well acquainted in this town, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I know most parts of this town as well as I know my own family. But that Black Cat place has always been kind of mysterious. Hardly ever see anybody going in or out of the place. And when you do, they're strangers.
Well, do you know Rocco Roberto that runs it?
Nah, wouldn't know him if I saw him.
Keep right after that sedan, driver. We're gaining on it.
Yeah, it won't take us long to catch him at this rate.
This is likely to be a long chase, Annie. They might be on their way to another town.
Well, that's possible.
How far are we going to follow them?
Well, we can't follow them to New York City or anything like that. But we'll keep after them long enough to get their license number anyhow.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Oh, here we go past the town limits already. And there's the old house up there on the hill.
Yeah. The Black Sedan is passing it right now.
Yeah. We're close enough to them now, driver.
Hey, just jumping, Jenny. They're not passing the old house. They're slowing down.
Sleeping lizards, they are.
They're stopping there.
No, what? Turn into the side road, driver. Quick. Swing around the corner here and stop.
Yes, ma'am.
Boy, that sure took us by surprise.
Yeah, a few yards farther and we wouldn't have had any place to turn off the main road. And then they'd have seen us for sure.
Well, we're all right now, though. This hedge that runs along here will shield the cab from being seen.
Yeah, but it keeps us from seeing, too. Come on, let's get out.
Just let the meter run, driver. We'll want you to take us back to town.
Okay.
Let's climb up here to the top of the bank where we can peek over the hedge.
Yeah, we'll get a good view of the old house from there.
This chase is getting more mysterious by the minute. That woman tried to throw suspicion on the Black Jackets. Now she and that man are driving right up to what we believe is the Black Jackets' headquarters.
It sure doesn't make sense. Hey, look. The woman and the man are walking up the path toward the house.
Yes, sir. That's just what they're doing. They're walking right up to the door of the old house and...
they're going right in.
Great Gulliver. Walking right in without knocking or anything. Just as though they lived there.
Well, this sure beats me. Maybe that old house isn't the Black Jackets' headquarters after all. But who are the boys Lieutenant Bushmill saw going in there? And who threw the rocks at us when we tried to go into the place?
I don't know any of the answers, Joe. But there's certainly something awfully strange going on. Well, I think we've done as much as we can by ourselves.
But what do we do next?
Call up Chief Bailey. He's been itching to raid that old house. Well, the time has come to do it. And the sooner, the better.
Hey, Annie and Joe had figured that woman to be an enemy of the Black Jackets. And yet she and that man have gone into what we all thought was the Black Jackets' headquarters. What in the world does it mean? And don't forget, here's the way to get your beautiful personal identification tag and chain. Just print the initial you want on your tag and your name and address on a piece of paper. Then send it with a dime wrapped in a metal foil seal from under the lid of a can of the new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine or plain Ovaltine. And send it to Little Orphan Annie, Chicago, Illinois. All straight? Get busy right away. Now, this offer is good in the United States only. Well, Annie is going to call Chief Bailey and tell him to go ahead with his raid on that old house. Tomorrow's adventure is sure to be an exciting one. Now, don't miss it. Until tomorrow, this is Pierre Andre saying goodbye.
Well, it's always fun to ride around with Annie on her adventures. You just heard the Little Orphan Annie episode following Angeline Carmody, which was first heard on the evening of Wednesday, November 20th, 1940, on Mutual Network. The episode stars Shirley Bell as Little Orphan Annie. Next up, we're going to hear an episode from Challenge of the Yukon, which aired from February 3rd, 1938, until June 9th, 1955. It first aired on WXYZ in Detroit and later aired on ABC and Mutual Network and was the third major juvenile adventure series from George W. Trendle, the creator of The Lone Ranger and The Green Hornet. The series featured the adventures of Sergeant William Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police. Today's episode is titled Bank Robbery and first aired on Thursday, February 10, 1938 on WXYZ in Detroit. This is only the second episode of the series and starred J. Michael as Sergeant Preston. Enjoy the adventure as we travel to Canada's far north and ride along with Preston and his dog, Yukon King, the real hero of the series.
The challenge of the Yukon.
Home King! All new Husky!
King, the swiftest, strongest of Eskimo lead dogs, blazes the trail through storm and snow for Sergeant Preston as he meets the challenge of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston was typical of the small band of Northwest Mounted Police who preserved law and order in the Yukon during the gold rush of 98. That was the year that brought over 50,000 men swarming into the Klondike region, and the greed for gold led to frequent violence and bloodshed. But in spite of the odds against them, the force preserved a splendid record in maintaining the right. The challenge of the North was answered, and justice ruled triumphant. The bank in Dobie City was a small frame building rich in gold deposits from some of the finest claims in the Yukon. Late afternoon, two men faced Bid Miller, Dobie's banker, guns leveled as the small man faced them defiantly.
You won't dare to shoot. The whole town would be here in 2 minutes.
2 minutes would be all we need to get out of here. Open that safe, Miller.
I'm not opening those safe doors.
What do you want to fool around for, Sam? Go on, let him have it.
For the last time. Open that safe.
You'll never get away with this.
We'll get away with it, all right. What are you waiting for? Go on, turn that combination.
Yeah, that's what I call being real persuasive now, Sam.
Yeah. Maybe our friend here is sensible after all.
You'll see how sensible I am. You might carry this gold out of here, but mark my words, you'll never get away with it.
Open the doors. Lift that gold out of the safe. All of it.
Yeah. We don't want to miss any.
Oh, this is even better than you said.
What a haul this is. Wait till the boss sees it.
Any more in there?
Any more? Do you see any more?
I guess Shorty here's giving us all the help we need, Tony.
Yeah, I get you, Sam.
No, no. Wait a minute.
You talk too much. This is just to keep you from putting some miners on a trail.
You dirty yellow skunks. There ain't a drop of red blood in either of you. I'll see them.
That's it. It'll be a long time before he can tell anything. Gather up the rest of them, folks. The sooner we get out of here, the better.
Sergeant Preston was a good 3 hours from Dobie City as he urged King on toward a small cabin standing alone in a clearing. A strong wind bit into him sharply.
On, King! On, you Husky!
Oh, that smoke from the chimney certainly looks good. All right, King. Ho, you Huskies! Ho! That's it, fella. We'll stop in to see Mort Kramer. Hello there, Mort. How are you?
Well, Preston, it's a long time since you stopped by in these parts.
Oh, just on my way to Dobie, Mort. I thought I'd stop in for a while. How's everything going?
Well, about the same as usual. Come on in. It's so cold up here, I don't know how men stand it.
That's the Yukon for you. As I remember it, you never did like the climate.
You want to bring your dog in?
No, no. King will stay out here. We'll rest a few minutes before going on.
Sit down. Tell me what brings you to these parts. You say you're going to Dobie City?
That's right.
Yep.
That's gold robberies again, Mort.
Oh, yeah?
A group of men have been systematically robbing banks all the way from Skagway to... Well, that's just it. To where? One after the other.
Well, you got any information that makes you think they're around here?
Yes and no. If I'm right, I have a hunch Dobie will be their next stopping off place.
Well, it all goes to prove I'm right. I always said it's no use banking your dust. Just puts it all in one place for the first smart crook that comes along to clean up.
Oh, I think you're wrong there, Mort. Banks are necessary up here. And it's up to the law to protect them.
Maybe I shouldn't say so, but you ain't done much protecting up to now. I mean, well, they were robbed.
You've got a point in favor of your argument, Mort.
But it's my job to stop those robberies.
I wish you luck, Sergeant. They must be a mighty slick gang.
Now, what's that?
Hey,
what's
the idea? This is a fresh team.
What do you two want?
What do we want?
Are these friends of yours, Mort?
Friends of mine. Never saw them before.
The money, huh?
If you two stop for grub,
yeah,
well...
Yeah, we thought we could buy some from you, mister.
Looks more to me as if you thought you could take my team. It's all right, King. Where are you heading for?
Pikeston. If it's all the same to you, Monty, we'll mush.
Where'd you come from?
Why the gun, Sergeant? They don't
These
look
men
like...
will have to come to Dobie with me, Mort.
Dobie? Oh, you're daft. We're going to Pikeston.
You're both going to Dobie with me and explain those bags from the Dobie City Bank on your sled.
What? Oh, say. I'd have never noticed them.
They weren't very carefully put on the sled. Two of them slipped from under that pack. All right, you two. Here, put these handcuffs on the Mort.
No, you can't do this.
Well, he's doing it, Annie. Now, shut up. Maybe you think your boss can get you out of this one, huh?
Maybe he better, mister.
Hey, these might be the men you were looking for, Sergeant.
Well, we'll soon find out. I imagine the banker and Dobie will be able to throw a lot of light on the subject. Get the dogs up, King.
All right, just a minute, Sergeant. I'll go to Dobie with you. It ain't every day I get a chance to watch the law working on bank robbers.
It was late afternoon as Sergeant Preston closed the doors on his two prisoners in Dobie City. And it was an excited banker who stood by, grinning triumphantly.
Yes, sir. They're the ones, all right. Made me open a safe that hit me on the head. I still got a bump. Oh, still hurts, too.
I wanted you to identify them, Bid.
Last thing I said to them was that they wouldn't get away with it. Now who's laughing, boys? Sergeant Preston, I got to hand it to you. If it hadn't been for you, well, I hate to think of what would have happened.
It's a little too soon to hand anything to anybody, Bid.
What do you mean, Sergeant?
Well, it's true that we've got the robbers jailed.
And you've got the gold back in the bank. Seems to me that's about...
No, there's more to it than that. Much more. You see, Bid, there's someone else behind these robberies. I'm convinced of it.
Say.
Hmm?
Now that you mention it, when I swung the safe doors open, one of them said, just wait till the boss sees this.
Did they say anything else? Anything more definite?
No, that's all. Maybe you can get them to tell who it is. They're all alike. Once they get in a tight spot, they'll tell everything they know.
I've already talked to them.
No luck?
No. But they may change their minds. I'm convinced that these are the men who've been responsible for those robberies in Bell Vista, Doriston, Hightop.
You're right. And they're the ones that must have killed O'Toole in Hightop.
Hey, look, Sam. We got visitors again. Hey, well, what do you want, Molly?
I'm giving you two a chance to lighten your sentences.
That's mighty interesting. But if you're here to ask for names, you're wasting your time.
A miner's jury won't go easy on you unless you help me get the man in back of you two. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
You're right on one thing. We got everything to gain just by staying here waiting.
And waiting for what? You'll be convicted of robbery while your boss makes a getaway with the gold he's holding from those other banks.
Marty, we ain't talking.
Well, suit yourself. There's a chance for you to help yourself.
We'll get help, all right. And you can put this in your books. We won't be here long enough to be convicted by a miner's jury. See?
Easy to see they ain't got a brain between them. There ain't a soul in Dobie'd be likely to spread the news of you two being in jail where it'd do you any good.
We don't need anybody to spread the news, Shorty.
All right. Come on, Bid.
Save your breath, Monty. You'll need it to explain why your jail's empty when the jury gets together.
What do you make of it, Sergeant? They seem mighty sure of themselves.
Yes. Too sure.
I don't understand it.
Well, there's only one explanation.
What's that?
Put yourself in their place, Bid. If you were jailed here in Dobie City and your boss was, say, over in Pikeston, what would you do?
Why, I'd try to get word to him, I guess.
You wouldn't be so sure that you could get word to him in time to get out of facing a trial that's 2 days away, would you?
No, I wouldn't. And if I was in their shoes, I'd either make sure he'd face that trial with me, or I'd break my neck seeing somebody that'd tell him to get me out of jail or else.
They haven't talked to anyone since Mort and I brought them in.
And yet they're so plumb sure that... it beats me.
There's only one answer to it. The man we're looking for must be right here in Dobie City.
Right here? Say, who do you suppose... That must be it.
Yes, of course it is.
In that case, the only thing to do is to double the guard on the jail and make sure he don't get the chance to spring him. By golly, that's it. And when they see that trial coming up and no help from their boss,
No, I think, Bid, that we'll force his hand.
What?
We'll give this boss of theirs just the chance he's waiting for.
Well, I don't get you. You mean you know who he is?
No, I don't know who he is.
Well, then, you're going to take a chance on leaving the jail unguarded?
If we'd leave the jail obviously unguarded, he'd suspect the trick immediately. Remember, this is the man responsible for a string of bank robberies that he's gotten away with up till now. Now, he'd be too smart to fall for a trap like that. I'll need your help, Bid, and King.
I'll do anything I can, but I still don't see
King how... and I are going down to the wharf and upstream a bit. Tomorrow morning, I want you... Early the next morning, miners thronged the streets in Dobie City. They were gathered in the cafe, in the general store, and lounging outside the frame buildings bordering Main Street. When suddenly, Bid Miller came racing from the wharf at the riverfront at the street's end.
Hey! There's a man in the river! Preston's dog's trying to pull him out!
What?
Yeah!
Man in the river!
I want to see that! Come on, Mike!
It was a stampede. Men who were hungry for excitement and entertainment raced down to the wharf, some of them already laying bets on whether or not the dog would be successful in pulling the man out of the rushing waters of the Yukon River. As Bid ran past the jail, he called to the guard.
Don't you want to see it, Clem?
Yes, sure.
Come on, this is too good to miss. Sandy can keep his eyes on them two prisoners.
Yeah, I got him right with you, Bid. I'll make you 2-1. That dog don't make it.
The street that only 2 minutes before had been crowded with men was deserted. Mort Kramer walked out of the cafe and slipped up behind the one guard left standing outside of the jail. The man was facing the wharf, listening intently to the wild cries of the miners. He never realized his danger till Mort was upon him.
Oh. Now they get the keys. Good. Lady Luck's playing right into my hands. To find which one of these
hey,
is...
What the... Mort.
Yeah, it's me.
For a while there, he's beginning to worry about you.
You knew better than that. What did you think I came to town with the Mountie for?
What'd I tell you, Sam? See? Boy, will that Mountie be surprised. How'd you manage it?
Preston managed it. All right, come on. My sled's in back at the cafe.
What do you mean, Preston managed it?
Every miner in town is watching that dog of his pull some fool out of the river.
Oh, his dog, huh? I hope that mutt never gets out.
Just the chance I was waiting for.
Yeah. It's a good thing for you it came up. Because if it hadn't, we'd have told enough about them robberies to hang you.
Fool, what could I do in front of Preston? Come on, we've wasted enough time. Preston might be back any minute.
You're wrong, Mort. Not any minute, right now.
Preston.
Those keys, put your hands up.
This was a trap, you fool.
Yes, it was a trap.
But I thought...
You thought I was down at the river with the miners. That the coast was clear. I should have known when these two stopped at your cabin, Mort, that it was all prearranged. That your cabin is the hideout. But I've got enough evidence now to put you just where you belong.
Hey, Sergeant, what happened to Sandy?
That wasn't any man. Just a dummy. Somebody stuffed a suit of clothes and sent it down the river.
Did it work, Sarge? Mort!
Yes, Bid, it worked. Mort Kramer is the man we're looking for. I was standing behind the office door waiting for him. And he walked right into the trap. I think we'll find the gold from those other robberies out at his cabin.
Well, I'll
Sergeant,
be... I don't get this.
You'll hear about it in court tomorrow, Tim. Lock them all up, Bid.
Well, even if it was a dummy, you should have seen that dog of yours swimming. I never seen anything like it.
Good work, fella. Good work. Yes, with your help, another case has been solved. Upholding the motto of the Northwest Mounted Police, Sergeant Preston and the great dog King maintain the right and get their man. Don't miss their next thrilling adventure when they meet the challenge of the Yukon once again on Saturday at this same time.
On King! On you, Husky!
Challenge of the Yukon, a copyrighted feature of the Challenge of the Yukon, Incorporated, brought to you every Saturday at this time, originated in the transcription studios of WXYZ Detroit. The characters and events in tonight's drama were fictitious. Bill Morgan speaking. This is the Michigan Radio Network.
I hope you enjoyed that wonderful adventure story. You just heard the story Bank Robbery from the classic series Challenge of the Yukon. The episode was only the second episode of the series and first aired on Thursday, February 10, 1938 on WXYZ in Detroit. Next up, I'm featuring Jack Webb in his first crime detective series, Pat Novak for Hire, which featured Webb as private detective Pat Novak, who worked the San Francisco waterfront. The series aired in two short stints, 1946 to 1947 on ABC West, and nationwide from February 13 to June 18, 1949 on the ABC network. Webb's trademark one-liners and acid tongue are clearly shown in this series. Today's episode, the third of the second run, is titled Marsha Halpern and first aired at 7 p.m. on Sunday, February 27, 1949. Let's solve a mystery together.
Ladies and gentlemen, the American Broadcasting Company brings to its entire network one of radio's most unusual programs.
Pat Novak for Hire.
I'm Pat Novak, for Hire.
There's a sign out in front of my office reads that way. Pat Novak, for Hire. Oh, there's no way to dress it up. You're in business down in the San Francisco waterfront. Everything but murder is a parlor trick. You rob a few graves, you can pay the rent. And nobody cares if you got sore eyelids. You get that way from winking at too many things. Well, it's a good living if you don't run short of bail bonds and Benzedrine. I discovered that Friday night after the fight broadcast. I wound up in a little whiskey barrel on Powell Street. I had a Glasgow farmer out of the red when they closed the bar. I drifted across the street for a cup of coffee. When I came out, it was raining and the street was deserted. I stood in the doorway and watched the dull neons through the rain. They looked splotched and dim, like watercolors rubbed with a damp rag. It was beginning to rain harder. I started out of the doorway when she ducked in and bumped up against me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, just wait for your blockers on the next one.
I guess I bumped into you.
Don't go out on a limb.
Oh, I'm very sorry. I guess I didn't know where I was going.
You seem to be headed in the right direction.
How do you mean?
Forget I noticed.
It's raining awfully hard.
Huh.
I wonder if you ever noticed how...
When it rains, you feel lonely and lost?
Yes. Yes, that's it. How when it rains, you feel lonely and lost.
Yeah, well, we're both great readers, so if you'll let me get by, I want to get a cab.
Yes, sir. I wonder if I could ask you something funny.
The bars are closed.
No, I meant coffee. I'll pay for it.
All right.
In here?
Sure. Come on. The counter will do.
All right.
What's it gonna be? Hey, you back again?
Yeah, two coffees.
How come?
I'm nervous. Two coffees.
You like a bear claw, maybe?
You know what we want?
Two coffees?
Yeah.
Be right with you.
Thank you. I know it's funny asking you in here, but I have to talk to someone. I don't know what I'm doing.
I won't argue.
I've been away a long time. I guess a long time.
Yeah, the kids will be glad to see you back.
Huh?
Stop it, will you, sis? Get to the point. Put the show on the road.
Yes. I think I've lost my memory. At least it seems that way at first.
Who are you?
I don't know. I suppose you don't believe it.
No, but I convince hard.
Here you are. Two coffees. Everything all right?
Yeah, everything's fine.
I'll be down here if you need anything else.
You thought up a name yet, Buster?
You'd be crazy to believe me. Guess you'd be crazy, but I can't remember anything.
Now, look, lady, if you got amnesia, see the police.
You don't believe me.
I don't know. Maybe you are leveling. But if you're off your rocker, go to the police.
But suppose... Suppose there's something that happened before and the police would be looking for me. Please, Would you try to help me?
How bad are you? Do you know what town you're in?
Yes.
Have you been here before? Do you live here?
I think maybe. Seems like a place I've been.
All right, I'll put you in a cab. You go see the police.
No. I feel funny. I think I'll go outside for a minute. I don't want Hilda to know. Please, I'm going to call the police. Help me.
Mister, your girlfriend's on the floor.
Yeah, any suggestions?
No, she's your date.
All right, here, give me a hand, will you?
Well, where are you going to take her?
The hospital. She's an amnesia case.
I hope your memory's good.
Huh?
You'll need it for answers. Your girlfriend's passed out for good.
Don't tell me.
I feel a pulse, mister. You're going to have to start over because she's all used up.
Oh, that's good. You got a wailing wall?
Sure. Use the counter while I call homicide.
It didn't take 20/20 vision to see I was in trouble. Maybe it was an accident, maybe it wasn't. I didn't have any idea why she keeled over there, but with a figure like hers, I knew it wasn't old age. That call to homicide meant Hellman was going to be in the picture soon, and then I'd stand about as much chance as a cornfield in a stone quarry. Well, I went through the girl's stuff. She had no identification. There were a couple of snapshots of her, but no name. I told the waiter my name and where Hellman could find me. Then I got out of there. I looked up Jocko Madigan, an ex-doctor who liked his booze pretty well. Smart guy, but he used a mason jar for a jigger. I finally found him holed up in some after-hours joint on Geary Street. He was talkative.
Hello, Patsy. A small jug for Mr. Novak, waiter.
I want to talk to you, Jocko.
Patsy, you shouldn't be here. It's after hours.
Yeah, look, Jocko, I need some help. What do you know about amnesia?
Oh, a temporary blessing. I thought I had it myself once.
Oh, stop it, will you?
But it just turned out to be a case of bad bourbon. A peasant's drink, I've decided.
Get up the street level long enough for me to talk. I'm in trouble.
Yes?
I met some blister tonight who took a dive after one cup of coffee.
Oh, I see.
She had amnesia, or she thinks she did.
Oh, if she's dead, why worry about amnesia? It's a minor ailment.
Because Hellman's going to think I had something to do with it. She picked out my lap. Don't you see how it's going to add up?
I have high hopes.
I got to do something in a hurry.
Was she a nice girl?
Yes, I guess so.
How come you met her?
Oh, what difference does it make? Tell me about amnesia. Could she phony it?
Maybe. Not for long. What makes you think she did?
I don't know. She acted like a butterfly with a jag on, and she headed straight for me. It just doesn't add.
No. What cell block can I find you in?
You can get off your spine and go to work for me. You know the hospital circuit. Hit them all and find out everything you can about recent amnesia cases.
Well, how far back do I go?
Until you find one that jibes with this girl.
Oh, it's impossible. Where do I start? I feel like Noah when they told him to beat the flood.
She's blonde, blue eyes, expensive clothes.
How big?
Just the right size for a good dream. Start checking now and give me a ring at my place.
No identification?
None. She only said one thing when she fell.
Oh, something crude?
No, she mentioned a gal by the name of Hilda.
That should be easy to trace.
Sure.
Just look it up in the phone book. You'll find it somewhere between Hellman and homicide. Right, lover?
Well, there wasn't anything I could do for the next few hours except sublet from an ostrich. I had to keep undercover because all I had to work on was a couple of snapshots and a girl named Hilda. Neither figured to get me out of this mess. Hellman was bound to ask a lot of questions because I had as much business being with a dead girl as Lucky Luciano in a finishing school. After I left Jocko, I took a C car downtown and I went home to grab some sleep. When I walked in the apartment, the lights were out, and that didn't make any difference. Hellman's badge was shining like a lake in Ireland. He was making himself at home with my ice cubes.
Hello, Novak. Put the light on so I can watch you turn pale.
All right, Hellman, get to the point.
Sure. Who was your girlfriend?
I don't know. She was the coy type.
So are you, Novak. You're going to look good sucking your thumb in the gas chamber.
I suppose your coroner is full of good news.
She died of an overdose of sleeping pills. The coroner's report is murder.
How about the space mark suicide?
No dice. You don't take sleeping pills, then tour the town for a spot to take a nap.
So she died in a coffee joint. What am I supposed to do, carry a stomach pump?
You're supposed to tell me who she is. We'll go from there.
I don't know, neither did she.
I've got that down as a lie.
You file it any way you want, Hellman. She was amnesia.
So are you, Novak.
All right, hire a medium then. I told you. She came into the restaurant a total stranger. We got social, but she died a total stranger.
How are you going to prove it?
I don't know. If I knew who she was, I wouldn't play footsie with you. Do I have to draw a map? She came in trying to sort out her marbles and never got there.
I see.
What did you find out? How about clothes markings?
That's your department.
How about laundry marks?
I don't know. I guess she washed her own. Look, Novak, you're a big boy now. You're in a spot. If you want to help, now's the time to do it.
You got everything I know. From here on, you work the ball downfield.
All right. You just answer the doorbell from time to time. When you see a guy grinning out there, that'll be me coming to pinch you for murder.
Well, that'll take lots of doing, mister, and lots of proof. You remember that.
I'll try, Novak. But I may get amnesia. Good night, big shot.
When Hellman left, I backed into my headache and went to bed. Oh, sure, I was in a spot now. The scorecard said murder, and I was the medalist on the first round. If the police didn't know who she was, that meant she had no record we could work on. I still had the funny hunch about that gal pulling a phony. But if it was phony, I was worse off. I had all the best arrows in town pointing to me, and once Hellman began to build a case, I could throw away those vacation folders. I slept until about 9. The phone began to ring, and I rolled over expecting to hear Gabriel on the other end of the line. It was just Jocko. Hello, Novak talking.
This is Jocko. I've been working all night.
We'll build a monument later. What'd you find out?
The morning paper says the girl was murdered.
Yeah, Hellman gave me a preview. What'd you find out at the hospitals?
I've got a complete list of amnesia victims. I know more lost souls than a Hong Kong bartender.
Yeah?
Most of them men. Trying to get away from the little woman.
Well, you're a big help, Jocko.
Don't hang up till you hear about the girl.
Go ahead.
Nothing on file for the last 8 years. In 1941, a 17-year-old girl walked out of California General Hospital. She hasn't been heard of since.
How's the description?
Oh, it fits like last year's bathing suit. She was Marcia Halpern, the daughter of Emery Halpern.
Yeah? Who's he?
A pocket-heavy guy down on Montgomery Street.
I'll get right down there. Thanks, Jocko. You saved my life.
Well, I hadn't intended to go that far. See you later.
Well, it was my one chance, even if the odds looked bad. I called up Halpern's office. They said he wasn't in to try him at home. It was listed for a place up on Pacific Heights, so I took a cab over there. When I walked in the lobby, I could tell old man Halpern was making as much money as you can without your own printing press. The apartment made Buckingham Palace look like something George had picked up at a fire sale. The doorman was a sober-looking specimen, the kind of guy that breathes every other Tuesday. He gave me the fish eye as I went up the elevator to the third floor. Halpern's apartment was at the east end. The butler showed me in, and I waited in the living room. It was a real cozy place, about the size of a small rugby field. A door opened on the side, and 200 pounds of Regency oozed into the room like a wet ghost.
Good morning. I'm Mr. Taylor.
I'm Novak. Where's Halpern?
Well, Mr. Halpern is away on a business trip. I'm Mark Taylor, the family lawyer. I believe that's the phrase.
Oh. Well, I'll drop by later, huh?
Perhaps I can help you. I take care of most of Mr. Halpern's business now.
Did you know his daughter?
Yes. It was quite tragic.
That's what I hear.
She was a victim of amnesia. She forgot all the details of her home.
Must have been a temptation. Did the police ever do anything on her?
Well, the police were not advised. Mr. Halpern hired private detectives, but she was never found. Yes, it was quite tragic.
You wear your mourning a long way, Taylor. She'd be about 25 now, wouldn't she? Taffy hair, blue eyes, nice figure.
I believe she had leanings in that direction. Why, Mr. Novak?
I think I may know where she is.
You don't know what that would mean to this family, Mr. Novak.
You don't know what it would mean to me, Mr. Taylor. Here's a snapshot.
Yeah, let me see it.
Well, Taylor, this is not a B-movie.
This is a picture of Marcia Halpern.
You sure?
I don't make many mistakes, Mr. Novak.
All right, if you've used up your quota. She's downtown.
I'll get in touch with Mr. Halpern right away.
No, take your time. She's dead.
She... When?
Last night, she got sleepy.
What?
Yeah, that's right. Somebody gave her enough sleeping pills to stock a drugstore.
I see. After all these years, come back, and then this. It was most...
Most tragic?
Yes, yes, I was about to say that. It'll be a great blow to Mr. Halpin. It'll be a very great blow to Mr. Halpin. Have the police any ideas?
A few. Do you know anybody named Hilda?
No, why?
Just sweeping out the corners. When's Halpern due?
This afternoon. I'll arrange an... Excuse me, please.
All right.
Hello, this is Mark Taylor. No, that can't be right. Well, when did it happen? Yes. Yes, please keep me advised.
You ought to wear a purple suit, Taylor.
I have bad news, Mr. Novak. Brace yourself.
I'm lightheaded. Go ahead.
Mr. Halpern was killed in a motor accident last night. His car plunged down a ravine near Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
That's very strange.
Yeah, that must have been a great blow to Mr. Halpern. Well, I left there and went downstairs. All the way down, I had the funny feeling that something was wrong. The way a person feels when he goes into a doctor's office with an incurable disease. It may have been Taylor. I don't know. He seemed all right, but I still had that feeling that something was out of place, like a broken line in a perfect picture. I crossed the street and called Hellman. It was too early in the day because he was as sad as a tap dancer in moccasins.
Hellman talking.
This is Novak. How's the case?
You look better every minute.
How's the identification?
So far, we know she's a woman.
That's right. Her name's Marcia Halpern. She disappeared in 1941 with amnesia.
San Francisco?
Yeah. She's the daughter of Emery Halpern.
We'll check with old man Halpern.
You better send your best man because he rolled a car and killed himself last night.
Where?
Sacramento.
I got news for you, too.
Yeah?
We got a statement from that waiter.
Who wrote it?
He says you brought that girl in for coffee. Also, you were nice and chummy.
I knew her for 5 minutes.
With you, that's a lifetime. The guy said you were good friends. That's the way our story's gonna read.
You suit yourself. I'm busy.
Yeah? Where you going?
Same place you are, Hellman. Sacramento. If I didn't move fast, I was deader than a Philadelphia nightclub. When they start taking statements, you can wire for flowers. I called Jocko and told him to check up on old man Halpern's estate. I borrowed a car and drove up to Sacramento. The accident was just outside of there. When I got to the spot, Hellman was already in charge. He's going to make a fight for the job at Last Judgment. They were down in the ravine, and Hellman was beating around the bushes, making more noise than a Venetian blind in a typhoon. Hello, Hellman. Did you find anything?
Get your own haystack. I'm busy.
Where's the body?
You get the blues if you don't see one corpse today. He's up in town.
Did you notice those tracks up there in the road?
Yeah. Double tracks don't mean a thing.
Oh, sure. Maybe two cars fell down and one got lost. Wake up, Hellman. If he drove over the side, he sure had a tough time making up his mind.
When you're through on that pipe, I'll send over another. I'm going over to the car.
Hellman went over to the car, and I started looking through the bushes. I don't know what I expected to find. Maybe an old boy scout. After about 10 minutes, I shifted over to the other side, and it showed up right near the ground under a bush. Hellman must have seen me because he came right over.
Hey, what is it? What'd you find?
A handkerchief.
Oh.
That's funny.
What's funny about it? So it's a handkerchief. The old man had a nose, didn't he?
Well, he must have loved it then. His hanky's loaded with perfume. Take a whiff here.
Yeah. Recognize it?
Sure. I don't know about you, but I smell a rat. Things began to move. This was the first break, and Hellman knew it. I went back to town, and I tried to get in touch with Jocko, but he was running up a tab somewhere, so I drove over to see Mark Taylor again. When I got to the apartment, I found out he wasn't in, but the pinch hitter was all right. When she opened the door, I got a nice warm feeling like a melted cheese sandwich. She was standing there in a dark silk evening gown. It was strapless, and she had no worries. When she spoke, it was like saying, put another log on the fire.
Good evening.
Taylor in here?
Won't you come in?
Sure.
Mr. Taylor won't be in for a while. I'm waiting for him myself.
I see. I'm Pat Novak.
Is it urgent? Anything I can do?
If it were, you'd get my vote. Who are you?
I'm Hilda Travis. I'm a friend of the family.
Which family?
Would a drink take off the rough edges, Mr. Novak?
It might.
Good. I'll make one.
I brought Taylor a present.
How nice. A girdle, maybe? Or am I being catty?
No, a handkerchief. This one. Do you like it?
Should I?
I thought you might want it for a keepsake. I found it in a ditch up in Sacramento about 10 feet from Emery Halpern.
Poor Emery. Here's your drink.
Thanks. Poor Emery. It's full of perfume. You want to smell?
That wouldn't do any good. You want to know if it matches my perfume.
It's your idea.
Go ahead.
All right.
Now, closer. That's it. See?
Yeah.
It's early in the evening, Mr. Novak. Don't blow a fuse.
I won't until I find out who killed Marcia Halpern.
Good luck. For everybody's sake. By the way, the police think you killed her, don't they?
Did Taylor brief you?
A little.
I asked him this morning if he knew a girl named Hilda.
He must have forgotten.
Yeah, everybody's got amnesia. Just to make things easy, did you kill her?
Just to make them hard, did you?
I see. Well, just tell Taylor I called.
And don't be a savage, Mr. Novak. You haven't finished your drink. And it's raining outside.
I'll finish this one.
That's good. Sit down beside me here. We'll finish our drinks and pray for a cloudburst.
She turned out to be an old-fashioned girl. She had about 8 of them before I got out of there. I tried to pump her, but she wouldn't talk about Marcia Halpern. I just became a family friend. After I left, I ducked into a drugstore and started phoning Jocko. I finally caught him at the hunt room. He'd worked his way below the label already.
Hello, Patsy. I'm having a wonderful time.
Yeah, what'd you find out?
I just heard a funny story.
It's old. What about Halpern?
He barely changed his will after the girl died. The whole estate goes to her.
Who's next in line?
A fellow named Mark Taylor. That's the new part of the will, drawn up 3 weeks ago.
Good boy, Jocko.
So I looked up the dope on Mark Taylor. He's a family friend.
It's a new club. Go on.
Looks all right. Some funny bank book stuff, though.
For instance?
Well, he drew $3,000 out last month for a Lisbon passage. A girl named Helen Dupre. Maybe she's a foreign cinema discovery.
Well, he's no talent scout. Meet me down in Homicide in 10 minutes, Jocko. If we're lucky, we'll show Hellman something.
What?
How to draw to an inside straight. Hurry up and don't stop for a bracer.
Well, just don't smell my breath. See you soon, Robert.
I'd explained everything I could to Hellman when Jocko got there. I went over it for him and sent him out on an errand. He was to meet Hellman and come up to Taylor's apartment. I went on ahead. It was about 11 o'clock when I knocked on the door.
Mr. Novak, so soon.
Yeah, I'm coming in. Hello, Taylor.
I won't say you're wearing out your welcome, Mr. Novak, but it's getting very thin.
You better take time out and pack your bags.
Is that nice, Patsy?
Because a guy named Hellman wants you for murder.
We've been over that once, Mr. Novak.
Yeah, but we got a whole new infield this time. Hellman thinks you killed a girl named Helen Dupre.
I don't know a girl named Helen Dupre.
The bank vouchers say yes. They say you brought her over here 6 weeks ago.
Wait a minute, Patsy.
Oh, you made the team too, Angel. They got you all fixed up for old man Halpern's case up in Sacramento.
Get out of here, Novak.
I left a drink here.
Find a bar there.
Get out of here. I wouldn't want to jam this gun through your face.
Come on in, Hellman. Did you bring him with you?
Yeah. Come in here, fella. Is that the girl?
Yeah, that's her.
Where'd you see her before?
Sacramento last night.
He's crazy. It's a plant, Mark.
Tell him more, Junior. You sure she's the one?
Yeah. She was on the road and I seen her at the car with this old fella.
Hang on, lady. The road gets bumpy from here on.
My lights were out, so I guess she didn't see me.
Take this little guy out of here.
I got a story. I seen you hit the old fella, then start the car down the bank.
I didn't hit him on the head. I told you that, Mark.
Yes, you did.
Tell him, Mark. Tell him I was here.
How can I when you tipped our mitt?
That's right, Taylor. Get out while you can.
Tell him I was here, Mark.
Well, you little fool. Don't you know you've told them already?
You're a bum guy, Mark. You've been a bum guy all along.
I keep my mouth shut.
I'll give you a chance to talk. I'll tell you about him, Novak.
Shut up, you little half-wit.
You're all right on the straightaway, but you're a bad guy on the curves, Mark.
Keep still, Angel.
For a tin-horn punk like you, I'll talk lots.
You'd better say it fast.
Yeah. You get any prize in the house, Taylor. Take your choice.
Are you working for a living, Hellman?
Yep.
All right, then, let's go.
Yeah. See you downtown, Novak.
Is she all right, Jocko?
I'm out of practice.
Well, Patsy.
You like it this way, baby?
No complaints. I've always gone first class. I wouldn't like it the other way.
Yeah.
I could have used a little more time, but I'm not greedy. Still raining out, Patsy?
No. It stopped raining. It's beginning to clear up and over. Come on, Jocko. I'm talking to myself. Well, it seems that Marcia Halpern was dead for years. Somewhere on the other side, a girl named Helen Dupre got the story out of her. She looked a lot like Marcia Halpern, so she waited until after the war and contacted this Mark Taylor. They cooked up a hoax and the pot boiled over. She was supposed to fake amnesia and stumble into the hospital. The pictures in the wallet would be printed. Mark would identify her as Marcia Halpern. The same night they planned to kill the old man the way they did. That way, Helen Dupre and Mark could split the dough. But they figured it wrong. Another girl named Hilda Travers had the story, too. She put the squeeze on Mark, and he blundered. He found out he didn't need a phony Marcia Halpern after all. The new clause in the will gave Mark the dough. So he loaded Helen Dupre with sleeping pills while Hilda gave the old man his last ride. All he had to do was wait for the dough and then split with Hilda. A few things went wrong. Sometimes it only takes one. Helen did her part, but she was no Bernhard. And then at the last minute, she knew something was wrong and mentioned Hilda. I kind of began to wonder when Mark identified that picture so fast. After more than 8 years, he identified it immediately. And then it was that handkerchief. From there in, it was freewheeling. All we had to have was a witness. Well, that guy from Sacramento? Well, he was some actor that Jocko picked up in the hunt room. Hellman finally cleaned up the mess. Taylor's in the clink, and of course, the girl already picked up her end of the check. Oh, she was nice, too, if you don't mind claw marks. Well, it all worked out, and Hellman's happy, except that actor keeps calling him up for parts.
The American Broadcasting Company has just brought you the third of a new series, Pat Novak for Hire, starring Jack Webb. Jocko Madigan is played by Jack Lewis. Inspector Hellman is played by Raymond Burr. Music was composed and conducted by Bassem Ablum.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
I thoroughly enjoyed listening to that episode, and I hope you did too. You're listening to Marcia Halpern from the series Pat Novak for Hire, featuring Jack Webb as the title character. The story was first heard on Sunday, February 27, 1949, on ABC. Later that year, Jack Webb debuted in Dragnet as Joe Friday, a character which he will forever be remembered for. I'm afraid my time is almost up. I'll be back next week for my final episode of Old Part of Radio before new host James Coulson takes over. I hope you'll join me then. From the CFAS studios in Prince George, I'm Corey Walker. Have a great week. Thank you.